You're listening to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show, only on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
It's 11:35, and we're back here at the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And Rick, we have with us as a returning guest on the line, Dr. Carrie Lewis, the owner of the Riverside Cat Hospital in Okemos. Welcome back to the show, Dr. Lewis.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Dr. Lewis, we've been talking today about cats, your specialty, and we're right in the throes of kitten season. Why don't you tell our listeners how that's playing out this year?
Well, just like every spring, lots of kittens coming out of the woodwork, looking for homes, needing medical attention. So it's a good time to visit the shelter if you're looking for a new pet.
I hear you on that.
Yeah, I would imagine so. And in terms of taking care of these pets, have you seen any issues with regard? We're probably a little early for flea season and things like that, but are you seeing anything going on in the health areas relating to cats?
Well, it's never too early for fleas, and we've been seeing them already.
Really?
Yes, fleas and mosquitoes will be out pretty soon, so it's time to get that heartworm preventative on board. But you know, the typical issues with new kittens coming in, particularly strays or kittens from shelters, are, you know, things like worms. We have to worry about proper nutrition, and then, of course, making sure that the kittens are getting all their necessary kitten vaccines and veterinary care that they need during their first weeks and months of life.
There's a lot of cats out there outside your house, and the best thing you can do is protect the one that's in your house, I imagine.
That's right, because those cats that are outside, you know, they may not have somebody to get them proper veterinary care, so they may be bringing the fleas and the parasites and other wonderful things to your cat. So even if your cat is indoor only, flea protection and heartworm protection are still a good idea, particularly during the summertime.
Well, one topic we have today and that we want to kind of focus on, you know, we can't, you know, for the most part, most people are thinking their cat is their household pet and their dog is something they walk around the block and exercise in great levels. But what about cats and how can we maybe focus on the attention that they do get bored and that they do need exercise? And what can we do as cat owners to be better cat owners?
Yeah, but, you know, with the cats being a pretty sedentary, kind of laid-back creature, a lot of people have the misconception that they don't really need to engage them very often. They don't need any exercise because, you know, after all, a cat likes to spend all of its time sleeping. But this is a problem that we have with cats that are kept exclusively indoors. They don't get enough exercise. They often don't get enough interaction with people or other pets in the household, and they get bored and they get fed, and that, of course, leads to health and behavior problems.
In the wild, if these were a flashback, if we were go, you know, a thousand years ago, you know, every meal would require a rather agile gait as opposed to, you know, walking over, meandering to the cat dish, I assume.
That's right, and rather than just having the food plopped down in front of them once or twice a day, the cat might hunt several times a day for multiple small meals, so there's exercise when they have to find and hunt prey, and there's also mental stimulation that comes with that. So not much mental stimulation for your cat if you're just filling up the bowl with kibble once a day.
So you've got a lot of great cat owners coming into your place and maybe a few that are trying. What are some of the things that you see? What's the anatomy of a cat owner that's doing what they can do to make cats a bit more exercised, a little bit more lean, and a little bit more mentally astute? So what do you see them doing?
Well, first off, you know, people need to recognize that even though cats tend to be kind of a more hands-off pet than, say, a dog, for instance, they still need interaction with the people in the household. So you can't just feed it and forget it. You need to engage your cat with various kinds of toys or personal interaction, you know, something that you yourself can do with the cat, maybe throwing a favorite toy. There's a lot of cats that like to fetch if you find the right toy, toys that are on strings that you can dangle for your cat, or laser pointers are a great idea. So ways that you can directly interact with your cat and not only provide exercise for the cat, but also that mental stimulation of actually interacting directly with people in the house rather than having to go play by himself.
And probably it would make some sense to just try to get into the practice of doing that timely and regularly on a daily basis. Like
cats
are certainly
going to
know.
Right, yeah.
Okay.
Particularly young cats that like to keep their people up at night or come wake them up in the middle of the night. A nice scheduled 10 or 15 minute really vigorous playtime right before bed can often kind of tire that cat out and satisfy his need for play so that he'll be more likely to sleep a little later in the morning.
Interesting. And, Doctor, how do people know if their cat is, in fact, bored as opposed to just being sort of lazy? Are there any telltale signs?
Lazy or disinterested.
Yeah, exactly, because sometimes they'll attribute that to a personality quirk when, in fact, they would love to do something that you just don't know it.
Sure, absolutely. I think it's safe to assume that every cat probably would like to be engaged in some way. So even if you're not getting any vibes from your cat that he may be bored or disinterested, you know, it's still a good idea to work on engagement. But a problem that we often see is that cats that are bored will engage in undesirable to us behaviors. They might scratch on unwanted objects. They might chew up things that you don't want them to chew up. You know, basically destructive behaviors, and sometimes just redirecting their attention to something more appropriate and fulfilling can help to decrease some of those other unwanted behaviors.
And we even have, I know at our store, we have a lot of things that either with the aid of maybe a battery or just as a result of their design, they can actually be, you know, self-alluring. They might have treats in there to kind of get them over, or they may have just movement about them that makes the cat go for it. Things like that would probably make some sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Toys that have movement are very popular with cats, especially if they have some sort of feather or soft wispy thing attached to the end, you know, that the cat might see as a prey animal. The little treat dispensers that you mentioned are terrific, too, because
sure,
that will motivate the cat to play and get some physical activity and at the same time get rewarded for doing that physical activity. And you can actually make, you know, for people on a budget, you don't have to go out and buy those expensive toys. You can make even a little toilet paper roll with some small holes cut out of it and the ends taped over. You can put treats in there and your cat can bat it around,
sure,
and wait for the treats to fall out. So they're inexpensive toys that can be made at home.
You're saying there's literally no excuse. So that's fantastic. Why don't we have a short moment here? Can you tell us a little bit about suggestions for feeding a cat? You know, if a cat is a bit overweight, what are the things you want to think about in the actual responsibility of feeding a cat that you can change its behavior, change your behavior?
The most important thing that a pet owner can do while feeding their cat is to make sure that they're being fed in meals and that you're measuring out the food and not just leaving a large dish of food out for your cat to graze on all the time.
How many meals a day?
Oh, 2 to 3 meals a day,
okay.
You know, depending on your schedule and your cat's preferences. And the amount isn't necessarily as important, although if your cat has a weight problem, you certainly want to consult your veterinarian about how much you should be feeding. But the important thing is that your cat gets used to eating twice a day or 3 times a day at those meal times so that he's not expecting food all day long. And, you know, some cats get bored and they'll just go to the food dish and eat and that's just going to lead to obesity and diabetes and other problems.
And Dr. Lewis, what happens if you have multiple cats? Because sometimes one cat is more like a pig,
mm-hmm,
and the other cat may not get to his meal.
Yeah, when you start having more than one cat in a household, you have to look at the dynamics between the cats. Sometimes you can easily feed them all together, and they'll eat just fine. And sometimes it's necessary to feed them in different locations. And for those troublesome cases, there are even products made where, you know, there's a box and a cat that wears a magnetic collar, and that's the only cat that can get to the food. So there are all kinds of options out there if you have to feed your cat separately.
Fascinating. Well, Dr. Lewis, we could continue this conversation, but unfortunately, the constraints of time have occurred again. So we just want to thank you so much for coming on the show this morning. We really appreciate your insights.
Thanks. It was fun being here.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We've been been talking this morning with Dr. Carrie Lewis, the owner of the Riverside Cat Hospital on Okemos Road in Okemos. And Rick, after the break, we're going to continue the conversation and talk with the owner of a local rescue right here on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.
Be sure to listen to the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show every Saturday from 11 a.m. to noon on 1320 a.m. WILS. If you're out of the listening area, you can hear our show live online. Go to 1320WILS.com and click on the Listen Live link.